you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, a.k.a. the mayor of Lost Town, the shaman of scheming, the phenom of flexibility, the prince of pretending to be nice, and the David You're Right delight.
Wait a second.
With me, as always, is the Sultana of Salt and Viscountess of Vinegar, the Duchess of Drawing Rocks, the Princess of Pink Eye, and my sis Chacha, who will not be blindsided, Jessica Lewis.
Wow. Can we do that every week? That was amazing. That was so good. Thank you very much. And I love the names. Those were incredible. Very creative. Quite impressive. Well, yeah.
I had to be inspired by John, of course.
I know. And John does have a lot of names. So it's,
he does.
That's a tough act to follow, but I think we did well. I think we can really hold our own. Now we just need to get some tights. And they don't wear masks anymore, do they?
Well, no. They wear masks in Mexico, but I think he goes unmasked in Mexico.
So we just need some tights.
No, we don't.
Come on, David.
Nobody needs that.
You could rock some tights. I think you could do it.
Okay. let's pivot away from that very quickly. And
everyone's picturing it right now.
Well, good. That's the only picture they're getting. So
it's amazing.
So, wow, what an episode.
I love it when I kind of embarrass you. It's really fun.
So, you know, that episode nowhere near what we predicted.
Oh, my God.
Though, to be fair to ourselves, it would have been really hard to predict that outcome.
The only thing that we were kind of like questioning was whether or not they'll do something with the idol. We were talking about that topic, like, oh, maybe Davey will play his idol, but then there'll be this nullifier. We were in completely wrong realm, though.
Yeah, because we thought Carl and Davey were completely on the outs, and it never occurred to us that Nick would work together with them for the betterment of all the Davids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were way off. Sorry, everybody. We suck at predictions.
Well, I mean, I heard the same thing from a lot of other places. And, you know, so I guess while Carl was still mad at Elizabeth, apparently for flipping the vote against Jessica way back, he apparently didn't hold the same grudge against Nick.
Yeah, which is so interesting because I do feel like Survivor is very much a game where one person will get blamed for the groupthink, where like everybody might come up with a plan, but someone's got to be like the one that gets blamed for it. And I think that's probably what happened to Elizabeth. You know, it's just that, and Nick was all over that. He was definitely involved in that too, but somehow he managed to dodge and weave, and he did a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, before we go any further, I did want to mention something I saw on Twitter that was pretty funny. The Survivor account, you know, it obviously tweets throughout the show, and mm-hmm. it said people should retweet if they couldn't believe what just happened. And John retweeted it. So
that was great. You know,
I enjoyed his ability to have a sense of humor about that.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody kind of sat there with their mouth agape when it was happening, because it really was a moment where, I don't know if you did this, but once the idols were played, then it was a matter of, okay, now you're trying to figure out what's going to happen, because did anybody vote for somebody else? You know, there was like that moment where you start to kind of realize like, wait a second, that means every vote's nullified, you know, or canceled out, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, that was a moment where I think everybody, as you watched, you were kind of processing and working things through in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And so in a minute, we'll get to what happened leading up to that. But just as a reminder, For anyone who might be new, each week we take all the information we can find, including what we saw on the show, the web videos, interviews, anything else that isn't a spoiler, and pull it together to go through a set of rules that I wrote way back after the first season and have modifying ever since. And I mentioned last week and also on Twitter that the new and updated version of those rules is at www.robhasawebsite.com/survivorrules. Speaking of those rules, I would like to thank Christian for the Rule 6 shout out during Tribal Council. As he said, we never want to be too much of a threat. And, you know, he's right. And that makes, from what I can tell, at least two shout outs from different players this season. So that's always nice to see those work their way into the television show.
It's certainly helpful to us as well. So yes. That is good. That was a great exchange that he had with Angelina during the Tribal Council, too. I thought that was quite fun to watch because she was, I don't know if we really want to get into that now, but I just, I really did enjoy watching her response to him because he was being very aggressive and she didn't know how to respond. And right. I liked watching her be uncomfortable in that moment. That was fun. That was quite fun.
I mean, they're both individually fun to watch. So the two of them interacting like that,
it was great.
Was exponentially more fun to watch.
No, my word. The whole Tribal Council was phenomenal. It was just all full of great moments. Great moments.
Yes. And so because of that, we have a bit more to unpack before we get to the rules this week. First, before we do that, I want to mention that usually we will complain when the web clips aren't any good. Like, you know, last week when I was talking about them talking about the food all the time. But this week I have to turn around and compliment Survivor for having a very good crop of clips that gave us a lot of information about what's been happening around camp.
Yeah, it was a little bit much. I try to like. Obviously write things down as people are speaking. And I found myself using, it was like Allison in particular, there's one I had like a whole page. I was like, what is happening? It was really crazy. And it's so good because I do feel like we got a lot more of a backstory that we didn't have, which is always nice to have.
Yes. And so let's go into that just to figure out what we know that led to the Tribal Council and Blindside, because a lot of it was hidden from us on the show.
Yes, which I love. Thank you.
Yeah. But we can still do what we always do for this podcast, which is pulling together all the available information in order to, well, piece together the puzzle, hopefully as well as Christian does.
Yeah. Except we haven't come up with mathematical equations for it yet.
Oh, well, we will.
I'm sure you will.
So, okay, let's start here. So we saw on the show Nick being told by Alec that Christian was the target. What we didn't know until we saw Nick's web confessional was that it seems that Mike told him even before that. And so that means both Mike and Alec were trying to save their own relationships with Nick. And on top of that, I think Alec had an ulterior motive, which was if Nick and company could pull something off to take out one of Alec's rivals and save Christian, so much the better.
Oh, yeah. I think that was absolutely what his plan was.
Yeah, because, you know, some people were saying, well, how is this different from Angelina, what she did? Well, one thing to note is that Alec specifically said in the web confessional for this episode that information management is key, and he was making sure not to disclose information to people he shouldn't. So that tells me that he knew exactly what he was doing when he told Nick.
Yes. And Alec, if you remember, too, a while back when Elizabeth said that Alec knows exactly what to say and what not to say. And I see that with Alec. The more that we hear from him in these web confessionals, he is very good at managing information. So much so that even Jonathan talked about how he was worried because Alec really was playing both sides, but he hadn't reached a point yet where John was like, I need to do something about Alec, but I'm going to. That was kind of the idea that he had. So clearly he was managing information very well because people might have been noticing, but they weren't concerned with it yet. I think now they're going to be concerned.
Yeah. Now, on top of that, either Mike or Alec probably told Nick that all the Goliaths were voting for Christian. So that meant the Davids didn't have to worry about a split vote with bigger numbers, and they could safely split their own vote, even though they were in the minority.
I know, which is so incredible. They didn't think maybe we should split the votes.
Well, I mean, really, they couldn't. If they had split the votes and the Davids had voted as a block, then that would have overcome the split vote. So
I know. So there were so many those algorithms.
Like, right.
You start looking at all the numbers and the possibilities. Yeah, I mean, this was a crazy vote for so many reasons, because it really, as much as you want to say splitting the vote is the better move, but then when you realize if the other side doesn't split the vote, then yeah, you're done. But then if the other side does split the vote and everybody plays their idols, I mean, it's just, there's so many computations here. I'm sure that Christian's brain hurt as he sat there trying to figure this all out.
Well, okay, we'll get to that. But so at least some of the Davids had to know about Davy's idol for the split vote to happen. From the information we have, including a great web confessional from Davy, it appears that Nick and Davy worked out this plan. So we saw Nick talking to Christian. I'm betting Nick told Christian to vote for John. Now, whether Christian was told the full reason why is another question. So I don't know if he was working out all these things or if Nick and Davy worked everything out and said, this is what you're doing. Because my guess is that he didn't know the full reason. And, you know, maybe he knew that there was an idol being played to flip the votes. But judging by the look on his face when it happened, I would bet he didn't know that he was the target and that the idol was being played on him.
Well, and see, I was wondering about that myself, too, because everybody was doing some superb acting. Even Nick, who we knew, or at least eventually knew, was in on what was happening with Davy, was had his mouth agape and was reacting like the shock. But then at the end, when it all happened and all the high fives were going down, the only person out of that group, and potentially Christian being one of them, because Christian wasn't really celebratory because I think he was processing everything. So I think you're probably right. He didn't know what was happening. I don't think Gabby knew either. I think they just told Gabby what to do. And then she was like, what? Like, she like lost her mind at that moment. So I think the people that were high-fiving each other were the ones that were in the know. And everybody else was just kind of told, this is what you're doing, and just go along with it.
Well, even if they were told anything, I mean, Gabby might not have known any of it, for example, because Davy did get up there and say, I'm sorry that I hid this from my allies.
Right. And I agree with that. But I do think that, you know, the group probably was like, okay, yep, no, we're going to vote with Angelina, Gabby, you know, right. That's what the vote is. And so that's what she was expecting.
Right.
But even though Carl voted for Angelina, I think Carl was completely in the know. You know, he knew what was going on.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. And another reason that they might not have told Christian is that no matter how good an actor someone is, if you know you're the target, it makes you act weird.
Yeah.
Or at least it can. And by the way, you did mention Nick's acting. And when I first watched the episode, he did appear surprised when Davy pulled out the idol. But when I rewatched it, it's pretty clear that it's a fake jaw drop. You can almost see him kind of half laughing as his jaw is dropping.
Right.
Nick, get yourself a good acting coach, you know. But
well, and you want to know what I do think that if they. I love this idea that Christian didn't know, because I think that's why Christian was so good through the tribal council, because the problem with Christian is, and I'm sure everyone has noticed, he has some incredible expressions. He's very well spoken. And the fact that if he had known that this was happening, I think he might have just given it away. Just by his mannerisms and the way that he was speaking, like, I don't think he would have been so confrontational with Angelina in that moment, because he wouldn't have felt a need to have to protect himself and to have to explain, you know, why he shouldn't be a threat, or, you know, versus this person being a threat. And I do think that if they didn't tell him that was genius for them not to, because it kept it real for Christian. Like right. what he was feeling and experiencing was actually happening. And he was told to vote for John, probably had no idea why, but it clearly worked. And I do think that it was authentic. What you saw coming from Christian was truly authentic.
Yeah, that's what I feel too. So now on Twitter, Christian did taunt me in good fun as I was trying to piece this all together mm-hmm. before I watched the web clips, saying he loved watching me and others, you know, puzzle this together. So, Christian, if you're listening, I hope we slid those puzzle pieces into their proper places.
I hope so.
It took more than 15 seconds.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. I loved it. And, you know, I have to do this just to give my husband some props. He had picked Davey from, and not that Davey has won, but I'm just, you know, since Davey was part of all of this, we sit around and we read everything and we look at all of these, you know, interviews that are published and different components, you know, all the pregame stuff. And then I pick a winner pick and I do terrible. And, you know, and that's just like my thing. Apparently, I'm just really bad at picking winners. So my husband walked over as I was going through my stacks and stacks of papers and various articles. And he looked at the pictures of the two tribes and just went, "Davey, I'm picking that guy." I was like, OK, so that's my husband's winner pick. I just wanted to put that out there just so the world knows.
OK.
Yeah.
All right. OK, so. Now that we have, I hope, a more solid handle on what exactly happened, we can finally move on to the rules and figure out why John lost. The first rule, of course, is to scheme and plot, and John knew he had to do this, and according to his web confessional for this episode, he thought he was in a great position. He was solid within the Goliaths, who had the numbers, he had great relationships with individual Goliaths, so that if their group overall imploded, he'd have been fine. Mm-hmm. He also thought he had a solid relationship with Christian and Gabby, and he was hitting it off with Nick and Davey. And he said he was trying to steer the game his way, but he knew it was all about timing, and he didn't want to move too early, especially because he felt it benefited people like him to stay Goliath strong and stay protected. However, in looking back after he was voted out, John now realizes that he made some mistakes. For example, he told Mike Bloom that he was purposely going out of his way to build relationships and talk with everyone, but what he didn't do was talk strategy. He was basically making friends and enjoying each other's company and thought he would later turn those relationships into alliances. However, he didn't move at the same speed as some other Goliaths, and he fell behind. For example, he saw that Alec was immediately talking to Christian and Gabby at the merge, but instead of being strategic himself, John said he just talked to everyone and had a good time. As he later said, "I should have schemed and been in cahoots with everybody sooner."
Yeah, I feel, you know, I really feel for John because he was doing so exceptionally well at creating those bonds with people and putting himself in a very good place socially. But to then, you know, in hindsight now, look at those relationships and he's realizing, but I didn't take it to the next level. Like, yes, I was friendly with Gabby and yes, I was friendly with Christian, but even Christian, he didn't strategize with. And that, I think, is really quite incredible because it was one of his brochachos, you know, so it there seemed to be a much closer bond between the two of them. But it wasn't enough to overcome this idea of Goliath strong. He was very locked into that idea and to that image of the Goliath strong. We're playing the game together, but I do want everybody to like me, which is not a bad idea. You know, you want people to like you, so they hopefully will vote for you if you make it to the final three. But he really, I do think he's realizing that his pace of the game was slower than it needed to be when it, you know, comparatively speaking to everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. Staying Goliath strong, although he thought it was going to be good, it was a problem for him,
mm-hmm.
you know, which he's also acknowledged because others were making those cross-tribal alliances we mentioned. And he thinks that one reason he was targeted was because others had the strike force, which meant when the Davids wanted to vote someone out, they were going to pick someone they hadn't been strategizing with.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, as you look at John, and as far as the Goliaths are concerned, because John is so likable and he is someone that hasn't frustrated anyone, no one's upset with John. John's a guy that does have a good personal bond with everybody out there, that can make him a more dangerous person to move forward with in the game, because he hasn't pissed anybody off. And so you might want to take somebody along with you that is a little more brash, or is a little more, you know, someone who has maybe rubbed somebody the wrong way, just because you have more to work with. If it's someone that everybody just likes, then what's the reason for voting that person off? You know, so I think that in a weird way was a problem for John. He was too likable, if that's even possible. I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's possible. I feel like that wasn't necessarily the reason he wasn't included in the strike force. I think it's just because John was more in with Dan and Angelina.
Oh, yeah.
And Kara. And so that was a different group in the Goliaths, is all.
And I don't think that's why he wasn't part of. I'm not saying that, you know, that he was too likable to be part of the strike force, but I think that was kind of where his limitation was, where it was, oh, yeah, we really like John. John's a really nice guy and everybody gets along with John, but he's not a strategist. He's not someone that we can really talk game with. And John was a yes man. You know, he said yes to, if someone came to him and said, this is what we want to do, he did that well. He said, yes, let's do that. He wasn't really coming up with the ideas and making suggestions about what should and shouldn't be done. He was just kind of going along with what the group wanted to do. He was very much into that groupthink idea, which is fine if you don't want to cause any ripples or waves or issues. Unfortunately, he was playing a game with a lot of people that wanted to do that and were willing to do that. And I think that's part of the reason why he was left out of that strike force group.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I found interesting, John told a story in interviews about how he had a conversation with Nick before tribal council, and Nick asked what the plan was. John gave him the Angelina cover story, but he felt like Nick wanted him to spill the real plan, and now feels like Nick knew already and was trying to figure out who to target. John now wonders if he had told Nick the truth, would Nick have maybe gone after someone else? And, you know, we already discussed, yeah, Nick did know the plan. So I do wonder, maybe John is right about that feeling. Maybe Nick was giving him that last chance to align with him.
Yeah, I do think that as far as whether or not that would have changed things, I wonder if it would have. But I also, I don't know who else the next choice would have been, because I know that they wanted to take Dan out. But they obviously were worried because Dan had multiple, or at least the one idol they knew of.
Well, and he had immunity.
Well, yes. And then he had immunity. Good point. I don't know why I'm forgetting about that. No, he was Dan's like right hand man, which was mentioned by someone in a web confessional. Mm-hmm. That was their idea of going after John. Who else would be a good choice at that point? I mean, who else who else would be shocking like John? I feel like that was a shocking vote.
Well, there's a couple others, but we'll wait to get to that. But you're right. I mean, there wasn't much other choice, but who knows? Maybe Nick was giving him that one last chance, but maybe he really wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the strategy of that move was, it was so impressive, because I feel like, you know, Davey and Nick were really thinking things through so much further than I think anyone else is thinking or was thinking at that point in the game, that I just can't imagine that there would have been any better choice than John at that point. I just feel like John was really the best choice, but who knows? I mean, maybe Nick really was like not wanting to get rid of John, because there was this relationship with Christian. I don't know, but it's interesting. It's interesting to ponder.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the second rule, which covers how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much. And since we just talked rather extensively about how John didn't strategize enough, I think it's safe to say he didn't overdo it. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would say that's a safe assumption. Certainly wasn't scheming and plotting too much. I really don't think that was a problem for him.
No. All right, so we'll quickly go to the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. How do you think John did here?
Well, I think the really big problem he had was his inflexibility. Because this Goliath strong mantra that he had running through his game. You know, he did say that that one of the biggest downfalls of his gameplay was the idea of being Goliath strong. And the idea of staying Goliath strong, he now realizes it was outdated and he should have kind of put it, you know, had a shelf life on it. And I don't think he was flexible like he needed to be, even though he was willing to create relationships with people like Christian and Gabby. He created a friendship, but he wasn't willing to take it to the next level because he was so locked into this idea of Goliath strong. So I think he had some real issues with his flexibility in certain parts of his game. I think he was willing to listen to people and take suggestions. I mean, clearly we saw when they were going back and forth between the Christian and Elizabeth Vo, and, you know, he was willing to kind of, again, go along with what the group wanted. So I do think he was flexible in considering the group plans, but as far as getting away from the group, I think that's where he lost his flexibility.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that if he had lasted longer, then all of his different relationships would have allowed him to be flexible. But like you said, he was inflexible right now, so he never had a chance to be flexible later. And so you had people like Alec and Allison, also Goliaths, making strategic inroads with the Davids. Meanwhile, John was trying to vote off his David Brochacho.
Yeah, which is so crazy because I think that I looked at that relationship and thought the fact that he has such a close relationship with Christian is going to bode so well come the merge, because that's going to be his in for the Davids. And instead of utilizing that relationship with Christian to really do that, he just left it alone. You know, like, oh, yeah, that's my bro Chacho. That's my buddy. That's my friend. But I don't play this game with him. You know, it was so very strange that there was almost like this. It was like this line was drawn where, like, yes, I'm going to, you know, we'll do pull ups together on a tree branch and, you know, and talk about being, you know, the mayor and comptroller of Slamtown, but I don't want to strategize with you and I don't want to come up with a new alliance with you. So it was a really interesting dynamic to see that they were able to create such a close relationship, because usually those close relationships turn into an alliance and turns into strategizing together. And I find it fascinating that it never went to that next step.
Yeah, and that's a good jumping off point to move to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And, you know, I mean, on the good side, John clearly didn't have any problems here because, well, we were just talking about how he was planning to vote out his Brochacho, the comptroller of Slamtown.
Right.
And, you know, he got along very well with Christian, but he also knew Christian was a threat and was willing to get rid of him. So, you know, that's good that he wasn't letting his emotions interfere with what he thought was the best gameplay. It's just not clear, going back to, you know, what we had discussed already, whether that really was the best gameplay. Well, actually, it apparently wasn't. So there's that. And, you know, on the flip side, because the, you know, don't let your emotions has two sides, which is don't let your friendships interfere and don't let your anger interfere. And we really never saw John get angry at anybody, certainly not to any extent that it affected his game.
No, he was so likable. He was so likable. He was so nice. Yeah, I don't think he ever had any issue with that at all. And I do think that he came into this game recognizing that about himself, that this is a person who came into Survivor with this huge persona. I mean, he's the mayor of Slamtown and every other name that he has under the sun, you know, where he obviously has a very strong personality and a very strong ability to speak to people and to speak to stadiums full of people. You know, this is someone who is very sure of himself on so many levels. But I love that he came into this game not as, even though he mentioned he is the mayor of Slamtown and it was a resonating theme that he talked about, that wasn't how he played the game. He just played the game as himself, as John. And I think John was just kind of a more humble, quiet, reserved individual who was taking stock and creating relationships and bonds, but he wasn't letting something else control the way he played this game. And that would be this other, you know, this other person that he is in the wrestling world. He didn't bring that into the game.
Right. And you know, once again, you've given a good segue into the next rule, which is the fifth rule.
It's like I'm planning it or something.
I know. it discusses how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And this is an area where John excelled. And
yeah,
it's funny, you know, you mentioned he has a persona that he came in with. And, you know, normally he's pretending to be this other person. And now he could actually be himself. And so, you know, that was really good for him. And we've already talked about how he was making relationships with almost everyone, which was his goal. You know, back in episode 2, he had a web confessional saying that despite the lack of food, he had been working hard to not be cranky. Mm-hmm. And in an episode 5 web clip, he said he had a good relationship with almost everyone he's been on a tribe with. And then fast forward to now, in an interview with Mike Bloom, he said he was having a good time at the merge and generally liked everybody he played with, and he just got out of strategic mode. Now, we've already talked about that last part in the first rule, but in terms of the social game itself, he was doing a great job. He just didn't turn it into a way to stick around.
Yeah. I mean, he really is very fascinating in so many ways, because socially he could have, if he had taken that next step, I think done incredible strategizing with pretty much everybody out there, because he was so good socially. He was someone who was creating a relationship with each person, and it seemed genuine, and it seemed like he was someone who could have developed that relationship into a strategic relationship, almost to the point where that person might not have even realized that's what he was doing. Because I think he was so good at talking to people and kind of listening as well. I mean, we saw him be involved in a lot of strategic conversations. He was willing to work with Natalie, for God's sakes. Like, he wanted to be with Natalie, and he understood why working with Natalie would have been great for his game. And so he was willing to work with her and kind of almost protect her, because he saw the benefit that it would have for him. So I do think that his ability to create those bonds and to create those genuine seeming friendships could have developed so nicely into that next level. But he just didn't get there. And it's so frustrating.
Yep. All right. Well, moving on to the sixth rule. It warns players against being too much of a threat. And John was at tribal council saying, "I am for voting out threats." And even before any of us knew what the plan was that was afoot, I thought it was a terrible thing for a guy built like a true Goliath to be saying. He should have been downplaying the idea of voting out threats, not trumpeting it. And, you know, besides that, when was the last time we had someone built like John pointing to someone built like Christian and saying he's a big threat?
I know, but welcome to the new world of Survivor.
Right, right.
I mean, that's really what this game has turned into, where years ago, people built like John, these you know, big, strong, Goliath-type people were absolutely threats, because you get to the merge and they're going to win the challenges and they're going to just wipe the floor with people and win immunity. And that really was what was a concern for so many people, I think, in the old school Survivor days. But we've seen this game is changing and it's developing. And now those people who are like Christian are really changing the face of this game and what actually is a threat. I mean, this is a guy who created an algorithm for slide puzzles, you know, something that you would never really think you would necessarily need when you are, you know, playing a game like Survivor. But you absolutely do need things like that when you're playing the game of Survivor, because the game has changed and there's always a puzzle. And now that's what we talk about all the time, is that someone won a challenge. Why? Because of the puzzle. Like, it all right. comes down to the puzzle. And so I do think
can't carry a dish of water, you know, then it doesn't come down to the puzzle, because you never make it to the puzzle.
And that is true. I'm not saying that strength is completely out the window, because clearly we've seen there have been strength related challenges, obviously, but there's so many other components to it. And I do think that there is this new brewing, you know, threat level. And it's, I guess, you know, it's the Cochran's of the world that we can blame for kind of bringing this out of people. And I do think that the fact that he was acknowledging that, I don't think is a bad thing, because it's a different type of threat. And if you listen to what people were saying, at least what we saw on the show and what people have been saying in web confessionals, who are they talking about as being a threat to win the game? Christian. Right. No one's saying John's going to win. They're saying John's nice. I like John. I get along with John. He's a good guy. He's really strong. You know, I mean, but Christian, he's the one you got to watch out for. I think it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I do too. And I just think it's funny that John was the one saying we need to vote out the threats, because I saw this, and I won't spoil it for anyone, but in a recent international season also, there was someone who was a big threat talking about voting out the threats. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why would you be saying that? I know you're trying to point to someone else, but look at yourself.
Yeah. But it's a different type of look now. I mean, that could be why he's doing it, is that, you know what? It's not about the big muscular person anymore. We got to look at, you know, the brainiacs. Maybe that's what he was hoping.
Right. Right. And, you know, John said in interviews that he did not want to be perceived as a big challenge threat early on. And he knew that that was going to be a perception anyway, and didn't want to add to it by highlighting himself. So that's why he let Alec do the individual portions of the early tribe challenges. And I think that was smart. But when you're built like John, it's almost impossible to hide. You can let someone else do all the individual portions of the challenges. You're still standing there, the ambassador of abs.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you mentioned abs. Thank you for that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you can't hide that at all. I mean, and that's one of the things I think a lot of people who play this game come in and they think, well, I'm going to hide this particular asset I have. Like, no one is going to know that I'm really good at this, or, you know, it's going to take someone's really going to have to figure out that I'm really good at that. But you just look at John and you're like, okay, that dude's strong.
Yeah, yeah.
there's no figuring that one out. That's the first thing you're going to notice about him. Absolutely. But I do think that it was a smart move for him to let other people do it. Have somebody else look like the showboat, you know, and that's fine. Because if you're the showboat, it does wear on people too, you know, because other people might want to have a chance to shine. So the fact that he was willing to kind of step back and say, no, you go ahead, Alec, I think was a good call.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, beyond his physicality, that wasn't the only way John was a threat at this point.
No.
Earlier we discussed how John recognized that one reason he was targeted was because other Goliaths had the strike force, which means that when the Davids wanted to vote someone out, they weren't going to pick someone they had strategized with. Keeping around someone who was fully Goliath strong was a strategic threat to all of the Davids. So when you look at those who fell into the group who were not working with the Davids, then you go back to John again appearing to be the biggest physical threat, especially since Dan had immunity.
Yeah. And I do love that even Dan pointed out the fact that no one was targeting John. I think that was last week. I just thought that was great that he was even frustrated. Like, why is no one talking about John? Because John was, he just presented himself differently than Dan did.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought, at some point we'll get into why Dan lost. But, you know, Dan was talking about, I don't understand. Why would I be a target? Why aren't they going after John? Well, because you're the one who everybody knew had an idol who was pairing up in a not very well hidden showmance, you know. And so, yeah, it was like, gosh, I wonder why people were targeting you, Dan.
Showboating a little bit during challenges, you know.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
But he's good enough and he's smart enough. Gosh darn it.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, I think I'm not trying to give Dan any crap. I think it's an interesting thing to watch someone like John try so hard to fall back into the shadows and actually did pretty good with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because to have the type of physique that he does and to have this, I mean, clearly people knew who he was coming into this game, that he was the mayor of Slamtown, that he was still able to kind of shrink into himself and play the game the way that he did. I'm impressed with it. I think it's, you know, I think that that's great. And I think that's a difference between he and Dan. Dan is not shrinking away from anything. No, Dan is like owning it all.
Yeah.
So it's just a different game strategy.
Right. So moving on, the seventh rule talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. And while John was the victim of an idol, he didn't have one himself. He knew about Dan's idol, and it seems like he was part of the discussions that took place about what Dan should do. But none of them ever thought the Davids would be two steps ahead and come up with such an elaborate plot,
even if one
of them did have an idol. So I don't think he can be faulted for not thinking about this outcome as a possibility.
No, I don't think he can be. And he also did talk about how he was surprised to see that Dan was hesitant about actually using the idol for Angelina, because they had all kind of decided that he would use it for her. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, I mean, I think that was a conversation he just wasn't part of. But yeah, I don't think we can fault him for how it went down, because, yeah, I don't think anybody really saw that coming.
Right. Well, whatever the reason, I'm very glad that Dan was hesitant, because it gave us another Dan.
Oh, my God. Idol, right.
Dan, take the idol out of your jacket.
What do you think she'll ask for next week? Like, yeah. I just want to know, like, what is it going to be?
Jeff, can I have the immunity necklace? Jeff.
Oh, my word.
Jeff.
And was I the only one who thought that it was really odd that she confirmed, like, oh, did you tell him who it was for? Like, she, like.
Well, okay, you say, like, confirmed. Some people say micromanage, you know.
It was weird. It was so weird. It was so weird. Now, listen, I think we should talk about this. I don't know if now is a good time or not, but we didn't talk about that earlier. But OK, so now Angelina has been saved with an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but, you know, kind of.
Right. At least one was offered up to save her if it had been needed.
And Christian has been saved, too. And I will say this, and I know that this was something that that Stephen and Rob talked about, too, on
the know-it-alls.
Yes, on their know-it-alls. You really do cut someone's legs out from underneath them when you do that. Trust me, I know. I've been on the receiving end.
How would you know? Yes, exactly.
And as wonderful as it is to have someone play an idol for you and save you, and you get to stay in the game, and you're like, this is amazing. And then you realize they just obliterated my game. So, future Survivor players, be mindful of that. That if someone plays an idol for you, yeah, it is probably one of the worst things for you to then have to figure out how to continue in the game and actually potentially win the game, knowing that somebody saved you with an idol.
It's one of the worst things, second to having them not play an idol on you when you need it.
Oh, God, it's horrifying, because you're like, okay, great. Yay, I'm still in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, God, wait, no, I'm only in the game because he saved me. And it really does. I mean, it's it's such a great thing for Davey at this point, because he really did. He just caught Christian's legs out from underneath him. I mean, there is, and I know Steven said this, and I will reiterate what he said. You cannot sit in the final three next to someone who saved you with an idol. You just can't.
Right.
Because
right.
there's, you just can't.
Yeah. And I think Steven, I saw him discussing it on Twitter somewhat. And I think what he said was something along the lines of, you know, in the Twitter conversation, if you're sitting next to someone and you're much more well-liked than they are, then it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
But if it's close, then it might matter. And I think that whatever happens, the person who is saved has to find a way to own the situation and say, well, the only reason they saved me is because of X, you know,
yeah.
because I had such good relationships, because I was so important to the game plan, whatever it was, they have to kind of twist the narrative to favor themselves.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. And that becomes the struggle as you move forward in the game is, okay, I need to now be loyal to this person because they clearly, you know, helped me out, but they helped me out to their own benefit and to my detriment. So how do I balance that all out?
Right.
And, you know, and I think moving forward, as happy as Angelina might be, as she's calling him her angel at that point, and we know that she still wouldn't have gone home because there she was only two votes. But at that moment where she was very appreciative of the move, I think she's going to realize that kind of sucks for me. Like, you know, it's not as great as you really think it's going to be. Like, once it happens and then you start to realize what it means and what the relationship that she and Dan will have moving forward and the relationship that Christian and Davey will have. Yeah, I mean, this will be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked previously about, I'll just say it, the fact that Angelina's game has already been blown to heck.
Yeah.
And there is 0% chance she can win now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So idol or no idol, she's already taking care of that herself.
Oh, yeah. And this certainly doesn't help because it's one more thing. It's one more thing that people can be like, well, and then you were begging for an idol to be played. Yeah. And so I do think that it's hard. It's really, really hard for someone to recover from that. And I'm intrigued to see how someone like Christian recovers. Because Christian is playing such a phenomenal game, to have him saved by someone else, I'm very intrigued to see how he works this out.
Right, right. All right, now it is time to move into Appendix A. And this appendix is about keeping your end goal in mind when voting. And a big part of the rule is that the tribe should, whenever possible, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. And as we discuss every season, the time around the merge is when players should be voting out strong threats. We were just talking about that. And, you know, now while the idea of what a threat is may change, the idea of voting out a strong threat has not changed. And the Goliaths attempted to do this by targeting Christian. The Davids succeeded by targeting John. So a question that's come up is whether Nick and Davey should have saved Christian, because after all, he is a big threat. But the key is that you should be voting out threats who are outside your alliance. Nick noted in his web confessional that he had five or six people he's tight with, and Christian is one of them, which of course we already knew because of the Mason-Dixon alliance. So he wanted to get rid of people that he's not tight with.
Mm-hmm.
John certainly fit the bill. And this goes back to what we discussed before about how it really had to be John, Dan, or Kara because of the way interpersonal connections worked out. Dan, of course, had immunity, and John is a more apparent threat than Kara, as we've already discussed. Although I have to say, I would argue that voting out Kara would have been at least as good a choice because of her own strength that we saw in the reward challenge, and probably more importantly, her social game and better ability to be able to slip through the cracks to move forward, much like she did here.
You know? And how about her relationship with Dan?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, John was the more obviously threatening person among those choices. But, you know, I don't think they would have been wrong to vote out Kara instead.
I don't think they would have been wrong either. But I do think that saving Christian was the right choice.
Right.
I mean, it Davey said it in one of his web confessionals, too. He's not here to play for like eighth or, you know, like seventh place. I mean, because essentially that's what's going to end up happening. If this Goliath strong idea really is what is happening, you know, if they really are Goliath strong, then they're down to, you know, what are they, would it be four Davids at that right. point? And then so it's just going to be a matter of ticking off the Davids one at a time. He's like, all right, so great. I saved my idol and I saved myself. And I'm the last David to go home, basically. That's what it's going to boil down to. And nobody wants to do that. You don't go out to Survivor to kind of resign yourself to this idea that, well, you know, I was the best in my tribe. You know, I didn't win, but I was the last David standing. That doesn't get you $1 million.
No.
So, you know, I think that his, you know, the process that he went through in figuring this out was the correct one. But then on top of that, now they have this additional advantage of the steal a vote. So they're clearly looking down the road and they're looking at the numbers and they're looking at how best to utilize their advantages they have, which I think is great because you can't try to imagine when you should use the advantage or an idol because you don't know what the game is going to present. But if you absolutely know what the game is presenting, and right now they know that it seems to be Goliath strong and they're targeting a David, and that's what they're doing is kind of taking out the Davids, then your best bet is to stop that. You know, you really need to do something to combat that plan or, you know, or cause your plan to come to fruition. And the only way that you can do that is to throw the Goliaths off course. So that's what they were able to do with this. Because now it gives them an opportunity to take that advantage of steal a vote and might actually be able to make a difference with it because the numbers are now going to even themselves out. So I think, you know, props to Davey and Nick and Carl. I'm assuming he was involved in this mathematical equation as well for putting this together and really realizing that this is not about one vote. This is really about the course of the game as it moves forward.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Your winner pick. Come on.
That's right. I know.
Ugh, I'm so frustrated.
So before I wrap things up, do you have any final thoughts about John?
I do. I really, really enjoyed John immensely. I was excited to see when he was cast because I wasn't sure how someone like John was going to fit into the world of Survivor. I mean, in the simplest terms, you know, we could probably say that John was just outplayed. You know, Davey and Nick and Carl got the better of him. And, you know, yeah, it's kind of true because they were very creative in the way that they managed to spin this vote against John. But I do think that John, he became complacent. He really did have this idea of Goliath strong. That became his mantra. And he was so centered on it. So centered that he was willing to toss aside this incredible relationship that he had created with his comptroller Brochacho Christian. And he didn't assess what that could do to his own game. Instead of looking at it and realizing, boy, I've got this great thing with Christian going, do I really want to send him home right now? Or do I want to try to utilize this to my benefit? Much like someone like Alec is doing. As much as I hate giving Alec props, I have to. He's doing so good. So, you know, I do think that John came into this game a very humble individual. He certainly, although has many names, you know, the mayor of Slamtown, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, the Shaman of Sexy. These are all things that he brought into this game, but he didn't. He managed to take all of that and set it aside, and he just played this game as John. So I really appreciate that about him so much, that he was able to come into this place and play as himself. But unfortunately, he played it as himself. He was a, you know, he was a nice guy. He was likable. People thought he was fun to hang out with. He created these, you know, brochacho relationships. But unfortunately, that was kind of where he left it. He left it Goliath strong. He left it brochacho. And he didn't bring it to that next level, which was the strategizing he really needed to do. He was a great, great person to watch. I really enjoyed him immensely. And goddamn, what a great blindside. It was very enjoyable. But yeah, I mean, that's what I've got to say about John.
Yeah, well, like you said, there were a lot of expectations about the mayor of Slamtown coming into the season. And I think he blew them all away. Because, like you just said, by playing as John instead of the Wednesday Night Delight, he made good relationships with almost everybody in the game. And that was a good start, but his problem came up because he didn't turn that good start into something more. John thought that staying Goliath strong would keep him protected, while others on his tribe said the same thing, but had their own plans on the side. Alec, in particular, had a number of cross-tribal relationships. Mike had come to share John's vision of a Goliath strong situation, but even he was still loyal enough to his fellow rock star to tell Nick what the plan was. And Allison was also in the Strike Force Alliance, plus she had strategic connections to Gabby. As I've said, that really only left a choice of John, Dan, or Kara when the Davids realized they could turn the tables. Dan was immune, and Kara was just not as big an apparent threat as John. It was smart for John to know he had to try to reduce his threat level and make good friendships to avoid being targeted as the obvious Goliath of the Goliaths that he was. But he recognized his mistakes in his interviews, and he was right. He didn't convert his relationships into strategic plans for moving further in the game. He needed allies, not friends. And that is why John lost.
Sorry, John.
All right.
You know what I want to see more than anything? I want to see
John's abs again.
Oh, God. Besides his abs, which are fabulous. But I would love to see Christian, like, in the ring. The controller of Slamtown. Like, couldn't you just imagine him, like, coming out, like, introducing...
Oh, I thought you meant like coming out, you know, suddenly like John's getting beaten in wrestling and Christian launches a chair into the ring or something like that.
Oh, but only as like his manager kind of thing, you know, like he's not a wrestler. Like he is the controller of Slamtown. And so he's got like a clipboard and like he's got some stuff to figure out.
He
like,
writes a bunch of equations down and
oh
then
my God,
smashes someone
so...
with the clipboard.
Yes, it would be so great. Like, you know, John pins somebody up against the ropes and all of a sudden here comes Christian with his clipboard and is like smashing him over the head. I just like I can see this happening. I think that this should happen.
We're trademarking this. If we see this in wrestling, you know, we want our cut.
We want some credit for this, goddammit. I think it'd be great. I would love it. I would love it.
All right. Well. It's time for your favorite part of the show, predictions.
Which is terrible.
Yes.
I'm actually sitting here trying to do them right now.
Okay. Well, we probably have more to work with going into the next episode than we've had at any other point in the season.
Yeah, that's true.
So we know from a web confessional of Davies that you've actually mentioned this already. They needed to get a Goliath out at this vote to get them close enough to be able to use the vote steal next time.
Right.
And that tells me they actually do plan to use it at the next tribal council, which makes sense and seems to be the logical next step to their well-thought-out plan. Plus, the second preview shows Nick telling the rest of the Davids who didn't know about the secret advantage, which, in my mind, pretty much seals the deal. I will note that the first preview showed various Davids and Goliaths talking about splitting into subgroups together, which suggests there could be a possibility that if they can confidently get some Goliaths on board to vote out someone like Angelina, maybe they save the advantage. But I just don't think any of them can be that confident at this point, which means next week, yeah, the Davids will indeed steal a vote to overcome their minority and vote out Dan, Kara, or Angelina. We did see Dan and Kara having some sort of issue in the first preview. And then the second one showed Dan having a breakdown on the beach. I can't imagine he'd be worried about getting voted out since he has another idol. So my guess is that his emotional reaction is early in the episode, and it's a result of him using the idol on Angelina while John got voted out. And so that won't really come into play for the overall result. All right. So what will that result be? I think the primary target will be Dan, but it would actually be best for the Davids if Dan wins immunity, because then he probably won't play his idol for someone else and the Davids will end up being safe. But if Dan doesn't win immunity, he'll probably play that idol for himself, and one of the Davids will be sent packing unless they catch wind of it and Carl plays his idol nullifier. So I'm going to make a prediction that I don't think will happen, but I hope it happens because it would be fun to watch. So to root for this fun outcome, I'm going to predict that Dan gets voted out, even though I'm pretty sure that won't actually be what happens.
Yeah, but you know why that could happen?
Oh, it could happen. I just don't think it will, but I'm going to predict it anyway, because I think it would be fun.
It is fun. I like this. And I'm going to play with your fun little prediction here for a second, because Kara knows about his other idol. Now, if Kara is really upset with Dan and deciding she needs to cut ties with Dan, and maybe she sees which way the wind is blowing, and obviously the Davids are really good at strategizing, maybe better than the Goliaths. So perhaps she wants to gain some favor with some of the Davids, and maybe she shares with them, by the way, Dan's got another idol. And then all of those wonderful things could come to be. So I don't know. I mean, that would be fantastic if that could happen. So I like that idea. I like that imagery. I think that would be super fun. If Kara does that, props to you. I think that's great. But something in my head just keeps sending me back to Mike. Like, I feel like Mike was, like, obviously Mike was calling the shots in this episode. Kind of, even though, yes, Angelina, you said you wanted to vote Christian out first, and we want to acknowledge that. But it's one of those things, you put his name out there and people start thinking about it. I think that's what happened with Mike. Things just started festering in his head. And Mike has been questioning whether or not he can really trust Gabby and Christian based on the way that they're interacting with him. And so he's like, because they're acting like they can't trust me, that means I can't trust them. And I think that Christian and Gabby are going to be rather upset, including Nick as well. You know, the whole strike force idea. Mike is the reason why that all kind of toppled, because he was the one that was like, we need to vote out Christian. So I don't know if there's going to be some like issue with Mike because Nick and Christian and Gabby are going to be upset that he kind of blew up strike force and got rid of it. So I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe if they do the steal a vote, maybe they get rid of Mike. Okay. Just because they're upset with the, you know, he kind of blew up their strike force. I don't like that idea, but there's just something about it that I feel like they might not be able to get away from. But God, it would be so much fun if it was Dan.
All right. So we have the fun that possibility fun. And the Mike possibility. So we'll see which, if either of those actually happen. As we wrap up, I want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. You can and should head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts, and also take a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kinds of perks you can get, like joining the patron Facebook groups, being able to access special podcasts and videos, and much more. So again, you can check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to both of us there. Also, we are now fully in the holiday shopping season. So if you're buying anything on Amazon, head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP, or there's an Amazon banner on the main robhasawebsite.com site. You can find specific items related to the show and RHAP, or you can click from that page to do any other Amazon shopping. I just did a bunch of Amazon shopping on Friday for my nieces and nephews, plus the cousin I have and the gift exchange on my wife's side of the family. So, you know, I did all of that through the RHAP link. Doesn't cost you anything more, and it supports RHAP. So again, that's www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. With that, it is time to figure out a hashtag. I have an idea. You tell me if you like it. No, it's not that funny. You're laughing prematurely. Hashtag allies, not friends.
I don't love it. I think it should be. Oh, wait a second. What would your wrestling name be?
We covered that already, didn't we?
I know. So that which one of those many wrestling names would you choose?
All of them, obviously.
Well, yes, but if you had to, I mean, because Mayor of Slamtown seems to be the one that he goes with most often. So what would be the one that you would really want people to gravitate towards?
I like the Shaman of Scheming.
Yes. Okay, the Shaman of Scheming. I think that's what it should be. But that doesn't fit for him. It fits for you.
No, it definitely does not fit for him. That is a good point. So.
No, it definitely does not fit for him. Right. So maybe that would confuse people because they would be like, wait a second, what? He was scheming? Yeah. I'll let you decide then, because I just think that everybody should leave this podcast
as a wrestler.
You as a wrestler. Yes, that's what I think they should
do. Okay, well, they can do that with and still. Let's just go ahead and keep the hashtag allies, not friends, because that pertains to what John needed. And if anyone also wants to call me, you know, the Shaman of Scheming, the Mayor of Lost Town, the Phenom of Flexibility, or the David, you're right, delight. Yes.
I like that one the best, honestly. The David, you're right, delight. That's a good one. I might just start doing that just for shits and giggles myself.
All right. So, pick a hashtag out of all of those. And also, while you're picking a hashtag, make sure you're getting all the Survivor commentary you can handle by subscribing to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or just doing it on your favorite podcatcher. We are, of course, also on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. And between these two places, you can find all the great RHAP content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the B&B, and much more. Additionally, besides talking to us in the Patreon Facebook group, you can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89, and I am at David Bloomberg. Make sure you follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week. Now, one thing that I forgot to post on Twitter, though I did post in the Facebook group, was I solved a controversy that you had suggested that you posted the GIF of Stuart Smalley before I did.
Here we go.
And it turned out I had the receipts.
I don't think that's accurate.
I showed the timestamps, and I was ahead of you by several seconds.
You did have the receipts. Yeah, you know what? It was my Wi-Fi. I'm blaming my Wi-Fi. I have terrible Wi-Fi. I don't know why. It drives me insane. And I will add, just so people understand that I'm not making this up, I actually watched that episode of Survivor sitting directly in front of my television with my hand on the whatever the machine is that makes us get the Wi-Fi. So my TV would stop making little like broken up images because my husband said it actually works better if you touch it. So I literally watched the episode sitting next to the box, touching it. So my TV would stop being wonky. So yes, it was my Wi-Fi. I think I still beat you. It just took longer for the world to know it.
Okay. This sounds like the old days where we had to hold the antenna of the TV, you know?
I know. Is that not insane that's the world I live in? I
wonder if your
everybody.
Husband was playing with you there. So
it was pretty comical because I fell for it. I'm like, seriously, it'll work better if I sit next to it. And he's like, yes. So I went and sat next to it. Hey, it worked better. Clearly, it wasn't fast enough because you still posted. Used air quotes when I said that, by the
way. So yes, this is the high quality conversations that you can get in the Patreon group and on Twitter. Yes.
You should definitely be a part of that.
All right. So thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does all the editing on the Why Blank Lost podcast. Thanks as always to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, aka the Sultana of Salt and Viscountess of Vinegar, the Duchess of Drying Rocks, and the Princess of Pink Eye.
I love it. I was hoping I was going to hear those one more time. Thank you so much, the David, you're right, delight. It has been fabulously fun, as always, and I look forward seeing what's going to happen.
So we will be here after Thanksgiving. Everyone, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey, enjoy your family, and we will talk to you shortly after. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Three, two, one, stop.